I'd like to turn to Joshua, chapter 24. Again, chapters 23 and 24 record two separate incidents toward the end of Joshua's life when he gathers the Israelites to encourage them in the Lord, to challenge them concerning the Lord. And what we read this morning, verses 14 through 31, we want to look at again. We'll not read all those verses, but this is a portion of this second address or this second meeting. And we have what Joshua says. We see the response of the people. He calls upon them in verse 14 to serve the Lord. He says, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And then the verse closes with, serve ye the Lord. He gave a warning in verse 15 concerning that if they found it to be inconvenient to serve the Lord, that they would serve other gods. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Again, there was a plan to serve God. In verse 21, the people respond, we will serve the Lord. Verse 24, they again say, the Lord our God will we serve. Verse 29, Joshua is identified as the servant of the Lord. In verse 31, Israel is said to have served the Lord. So again, we see in these verses there's an intent, there's an aim, there's a purpose, there's a desire to serve the Lord. Not only that, there's an anticipation to serve the Lord. We ought to look at each day with anticipation that today I can serve the Lord. May have failed yesterday, but today is a new day, and we can serve the Lord. So again, tonight we want to look at what is recorded here, and we want to speak on the subject of how to stick to the plan to serve God. First of all, we need to plan to serve God. That needs to be our life plan. I'm going to serve God. Whatever else God has called us to do, may call someone to be a banker, a doctor, an electrician, a plumber, whatever. And that's a side calling. Our main calling is to serve the Lord, and we serve the Lord in those other callings. So how do we stick to the plan to serve God? First of all, there's not many who plan to serve God, not many who are even interested in making a plan to serve God, make it their personal intent to serve God. But for those who do intend to serve God, how do we stick to that plan? Number one, not necessarily in any order of importance, but this certainly would be on top of the list. We need to keep ourselves in a condition to hear the Lord. You'll notice in verse 1 of chapter 24, following Joshua's call for the people to gather at Shechem, we read in verse 31, they come to Shechem, and we read that they presented themselves before God. That's quite a statement. They presented themselves before God. I believe that speaks of the spirit of the people that were gathered. It also speaks of the fact that God was present. They presented themselves before God. So these who gathered were very much aware of God's presence. There was a consciousness of God. There was a God awareness. They presented themselves before God. God was real to them. And if we're going to serve God with our life, if we're going to stick to the plan to do so, there has to be an awareness of God all the time. We cannot be oblivious of God. We have to be aware of God. People who are oblivious of God do not serve God. Only people who are aware of God are going to serve the Lord. There was a sense of His presence. Not only was God real to them, there was an awareness of God, but they sensed the presence of the Lord, and they presented themselves before the presence of God. This is what the psalmist said in Psalm 16 and 8. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. That is, he is saying, I can see the Lord everywhere I go, everything I do, I am aware of God. I am aware of the presence of God in every place and every condition. No matter who my company is, the psalmist says, in every circumstance, in every earthly duty, I have set the Lord before me. In other words, I see God, I feel God's nearness. This is absolutely necessary if we are going to serve God with our life. We need to live day by day conscious of God. Again, they presented themselves before God. I believe that means that they were submissive to God. It was like Isaiah, here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. What would you have me to do today? They presented themselves before the Lord. They knew Joshua was the mouthpiece of God. They presented themselves. They came to Shechem that day desiring to hear from God. Every day we ought to long to hear from God. Every day we ought to talk to God. Every day we ought to listen for God's call to us and God's instruction to us. So they put themselves in a position to hear from God. We have to keep ourselves in that condition where we can always hear from God, where we don't turn a deaf ear to God. And every single day we present ourselves to Him. Lord, here am I. I'm here to serve. We don't dictate to God how we serve. We just say, Lord, here am I. I'm here to serve. What would you have me to do today? What would you have me to do in this circumstance? What would you have me to do in this situation? Present yourself before God. Secondly, be mindful of who God is. The very first words out of Joshua's mouth, verse 2, was, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. That's the first words out of his mouth. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Lord God. Lord God. That's a reminder that he is self-existent. He is always existent. He is always sufficient. He is absolute. He is powerful. He is the always faithful one. He is Lord God. But notice it is, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. It was the Israelites that were gathered. So it is the Lord God, and the ones being addressed are Israel, or the people belonging to God. Be mindful of who God is. He is the Lord God. And we are the people who belong to Him. Our lives belong to Him. Our time belongs to Him. Everything we own belongs to Him. Leading to the call to be the servants of God and to serve Him, there is a reminder that because of who He is, He has absolute right over us. He is the Lord God. He is the Lord God of Israel. That is, He is our Lord. He is our God. He has absolute right over us. He has absolute claim upon every aspect of our lives. It is important that this be firmly established in our hearts if we're going to serve God. It has to be firmly established in our hearts at all times, under all circumstances. He is God, and He has absolute right, He has absolute dominion over us. So the message of God to the people of Israel and to you and I tonight begins with the being of God. Thus saith the Lord God. So the message begins with the being of God. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. It begins with the being of God, the position of God, and the authority of God. No one will serve God unless they recognize the being, the position, and the authority of God in their lives. And this isn't something that we recognize once. It's something we have to recognize every single day, all through the day. The being, the position, and the authority of God. And the fact, again, that He has right over us. He has claim upon us. If we're going to serve the Lord, if we're going to stick to the plan to do so, we must see God, we must feel God, we must experience this truth, that He has absolute claim upon us. I believe there's those who profess to be God's people who do not believe that God has absolute claim upon their life. I don't believe they believe that. They certainly don't live it. In Joshua's previous address in chapter 23, 13 times he uses the phrase, "the Lord your God." 13 times, "the Lord your God." Verse 3, "the Lord your God." Verse 5, "the Lord your God." Verse 5 again, "the Lord your God." Verse 8, "the Lord your God." Verse 10, "the Lord your God." Verse 11, "the Lord your God." Verse 13, "the Lord your God." Again in verse 13, "the Lord your God." Verse 14, "the Lord your God." Verse 15, "the Lord your God." Verse 15 again, "the Lord your God." Verse 16, "the Lord your God." 13 times, He calls their attention to the Lord, your God. If we're going to serve God, we have to be mindful of Him. He is the Lord, your God. He is your God to walk with. He is your God to put your trust in. He is God, your God to go to talk with. He is your God to believe. He is your God to cast all your burdens upon Him. The Lord, your God. Whatever your circumstances are today or whatever they might be 3 days from now, view them in the light of the Lord, your God. And we have to keep this in mind. If we're going to continually serve God, we have to keep this truth in our mind. The Lord, your God. Because that's where we find courage. That's where we find strength. That's where we find comfort. That's where we find gladness. In the Lord your God. If you have to get your courage and your strength and your comfort and your gladness from people, or if you have to get your courage, your strength, your comfort, your gladness from circumstances, you're not going to serve God consistently. You have to get those things from God. Because people will change. And circumstances will change. And you'll get depressed, and you'll get disappointed, and you'll quit. Then you'll get encouraged again, you'll start up again. And it's like a yo-yo. And that's how many try to serve God. The question is, are they really serving the Lord? I don't think so. The Lord your God is an immovable anchor. It is the foundation upon which to build. The world is filled with change and instability. But the Lord your God, always be mindful. Always be mindful of who God is. Always. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to serve Him continually, you have to always be mindful of God. Thirdly, always be mindful of the grace and goodness of God in our lives. In verses 2 through 13 of Joshua 24, Joshua reiterates the fact of God in their lives. In verse 2, we mentioned this morning, he reminds them what they were. What they were. Remember what you were. Don't ever forget it. You were filthy. You were wretched. You were a guilty sinner by nature and practice. You were totally depraved. You were dead in sin. You were enslaved to sin. You were condemned before God. You were void of all righteousness. You were without Christ. You were unacceptable to God. You were alienated from God. You were at enmity with God. You were deaf to the voice of God. You were blind to the beauty of God. You wandered in the wilderness of sin, hopelessly lost. Remember where we were. Because if we're going to serve the Lord, we must have a realization of what we were before God's intervention. And where we would still be were it not for God's intervention. So from verses 3 through 13, as we pointed out this morning, 17 times Joshua uses the personal pronoun I with reference to God. And every single time it's followed by a verb, something God did on their behalf. It's a reminder to them. It's all God. All is due Him. You have to believe that. You have to be totally convinced of that. That everything in your life, is everything about your life, everything about your being, it's all due to Him. It's all due to God. And as you read through verse 3 through 13, there's a reminder in verses 3 through 6, that it was God who brought them out of where they were. In verse 7, it was God who put a difference between them and the Egyptians. You and I that are saved must never, ever forget. We must always be mindful of the fact that it is God that has made the difference in our life. God has made the difference. We're different from those of the world, not because we're better, because God made us different. Because God intervened in our lives. The day that God saved our souls, we were in no better condition than anyone else around us. We were children of wrath, even as others, Ephesians 2:3. Deserving of hell. undeserving of heaven. But God made a difference in our lives. Don't ever lose sight of that. Because if you do, you won't serve the Lord. Now we're spiritually alive rather than dead, set free rather than enslaved, justified rather than condemned, and on we could go. All because of God. Always be mindful of God's amazing grace. You don't serve God to get something. You serve God because of who He is and what He has already done in your life. Fourthly, maintain a right attitude and heart toward God. After reiterating God's goodness toward them, we hear Joshua say in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord." Has to do with reverence and respect for God. Reverence and respect for His majesty. Reverence and respect for His authority. And also a dread of His displeasure. We need to have this. It's reverence for God that feeds the desire to serve Him. If you have no reverence for God, you have no desire to serve Him. It is reverence for God that feeds the desire to do all for His glory. It is reverence for God that means that there's an awe of Him. There's a respect. There's an affection for God. It's this reverence for God that flows from being in a right condition before God. It flows from being mindful of God, being mindful of who He is, being mindful of what He has done. We're to serve God. We're to serve God with our life. That needs to be our aim. That needs to be our purpose. That needs to be our desire. That needs to be our anticipation. To serve God. We need hearts of respect for God. You respect God, you'll respect His day. You respect everything about Him. There needs to be an esteem, there needs to be an adoration for God. Fifthly, maintain right service to the Lord. Maintain right service to the Lord. Verse 14. He says, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Those words state how God is to be served. He is to be served in sincerity and in truth. In other words, not just anything will do. That's what a lot of people seem to think. Whether God wants me to do it or not, I'll do it for Him. People say they do a lot of things for God, but the things they do, God's displeased with. They're not doing it for Him. They're doing it for them. They're doing it for themselves. Much of what is called service to God in modern day Christendom is vastly different from serve Him in sincerity and in truth. So what does that mean? Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Sincerity has to do with that which is genuine, that which is authentic, that which is real. So what does that mean? It means that service to God is to be without pretense. Without pretense. We are not to serve God as hypocrites. It is sincere. The word sincerity also has reference to that which is unadulterated and unmixed. And that is what Jesus is speaking of in Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. You serve one. you serve one. Sincerity is unmixed. In service to God, all loyalties must not be misplaced. And loyalties are not divided. We serve one Master. We're called to serve Him. That does not involve a balancing act between the carnal and God. That's what most people think. Well, I just balance the world and God out. No, you're called to serve God. You're not called to balance the two. Now you have two. If you're trying to balance the two, you have two masters. No man can serve two masters. So it doesn't involve a balancing act. We're called to serve Him. To serve Him in sincerity means it's just very clear we're serving Him. It's something that's very well defined. My life is for Him. It's something that is unmistakable. It's visible. It's obvious. It's very pronounced. It is decidedly for God. Decidedly for God. Again, keep in mind who He is. Keep in mind where you were and where you'd still be if God didn't bring you out. And how can we not have a life decidedly for God? We're to serve Him. And the foundation of doing so is who He is. We ought to plan to serve Him. Never waver in that plan. Serve God. We're called to serve Him, and this is to be in truth. Sincerity and in truth. Truth means that our service must be according to His Word and His will. If it's not according to His Word and His will, it's disobedience. And disobedience is not service. Got to be in truth. And this is what Joshua spoke of in verse 6 of chapter 23. And he said, chapter 23, verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefore to the right hand or to the left. If you're going to serve God in truth, that means you serve God according to His will. God gets blamed for a lot of things that He shouldn't be. And people say, well, this is God's will, but the thing they're doing is contrary to what He says. And they always say, we're searching God's will, but they're searching in the wrong place. So they're not searching for God's will. Service must be in sincerity, without any pretense, without any hypocrisy. And we live in a day of habitual hypocrisy. We're hypocrites by nature. And there are people who have been hypocrites for so long, they wouldn't know what it was like not to be a hypocrite. It's the only thing they know. We're to serve Him in sincerity. We're to serve Him in truth. That is, according to God's will. Lord, what would you have me to do? When would you have me to do it? Where would you have me to do it? It's not left to us. It's not left to us. We ought to be thankful it's not. If we're going to serve God and stick to the plan to do so, we must serve Him His way. That's the only way you can serve God. It's His way. You try to do it your own way, you've ceased to serve Him. You're serving yourself now. Sixthly, there must be a putting away of that which is opposed and displeasing to God. Verse 14. He says, put away the gods which your fathers served. They were to put away generational sins. Put away the gods which your father served. Generational sins. Generational sins, generational customs keep a lot of folks from serving the Lord. The command is repeated in verse 23. He says, put away the strange gods which are among you. So twice we read those two words, put away. Put it away. What that means is separate yourself from it. Cast it off. The message is cast away from ourselves that which gets in the way. Whatever gets in the way of serving God, and the number one thing that gets in the way of serving God is our own flesh. Put it away. That which captures your attention rather than God, put it away. That which occupies your mind rather than God, consumes your desires, but not for God, put it away. Put it away. It is an exhortation to prefer God. Put away the false gods. Put away the strange gods. In other words, prefer God. Prefer God over family. Prefer God over circumstances. Prefer God over careers. Prefer God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not second. If it's second, you're no longer serving God, you're serving yourself. So again, in order to consistently do this, the matters we've already mentioned must be practiced. And there must be a realization of the vanity of that which is opposed to God. If it's opposed to God, it's in opposition to the happiness of our own lives. We have to realize that truth because people seem to think that if I serve God, I'm not going to be happy, but if I just do what I want to do, I'll be happy. You've got it backwards. If it's against God, how can it be good for you? It's not possibly good for you if it's opposed to God. And again, if these things are not done, here's what happens. You make a plan to serve God. I'm going to serve God. But you don't do all these things that we've mentioned. What happens? Other plans are formulated. You don't put away the false gods. You don't put away that which is opposed to God. Other plans will be formulated around the gods which your fathers served. Around the false gods which are among you. So again, our aim and our purpose and our desire needs to be we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And if we don't, God will be replaced by something else in our lives. And here's what happens. Service to God becomes a side issue. Or perhaps not an issue at all. But service to God is always to be the main issue. Service to God is not a side issue to your career. It's not a side issue to where you go to school or anything else. Service to God is never to be a side issue. It's to be the main issue. Always. Always. We need to always be putting away that which gets in the way. Seventhly, there must be a right attitude toward the service of the Lord. A lot of people have a bad attitude concerning the service of the Lord. Verse 15 again, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. How ungrateful that a people saved by the grace of God would consider it an unpleasant thing to serve God. That someone who's been saved by the grace of God would find it a fearful thing to serve God. A fearful thing to just hand over your life to God. That shouldn't scare us. There's no one who can better manage your life than God. Just hand your life over to Him. How ungrateful to find it unsatisfactory to serve the one who saved our soul. And again, Joshua warned the people, if you think it's evil to serve God, if you're not willing to fully commit to God for whatever supposed reason you have, you will serve false gods. You will. There will be no doubt about it. You will serve false gods. And when that happens, serving God is no longer the priority. There are a lot of gods who profess to be God's people. Not so sure they are. God is a long ways down in the priority list. And the sad truth is, He gets pushed further down every day. As time goes on, He goes further to more and more things put ahead of God. That's shameful. If we're going to serve the Lord, if we're going to stick to the plan to do so, there must be a maintaining of a right attitude towards service to God. It's always a privilege to serve God. And when we look at it as anything other than a privilege, we have a wrong attitude about our service to the Lord. You see, people can go through the motions of serving God and be very dissatisfied. That's not serving the Lord. That's not serving the Lord. You've got to have a right attitude about the Lord's service. And the truth is, if it can be done for the Lord, it's too good for me to do. That is, I don't deserve to be allowed to do it. And that's true of all of us. If it can be done for the Lord, you and I do not deserve to do it. So it's a privilege. It's a privilege. Lastly, there must be a dependence upon God, a drawing from God. Again, we're called a servant. Serve ye the Lord. But he says in verse 19, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. What he's telling them is you can't serve God in your own strength. You can't serve God with your own wit. This service is too high for you and I. We have to depend upon Him. We have to draw from Him. We cannot serve God in our own strength. People have tried, and they've all failed. You cannot serve God by your own abilities. Many have tried, and they've all failed. You're unable. We need His strength. We need His enablement. And this gets us back to chapter 23 in verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God. Cleave unto the Lord. Grasp. Lay hold of Him. Cleave to God. Stick to God. Stick to God. Put away the strange gods. But cleave to the Lord. Get a grip upon Him. And don't let go. That's where you find the strength. to serve the Lord. And if this is not done, you begin to serve in your own strength. And when you begin to serve in your own strength, the genuineness, that sincerity, begins to wane. And if you do it long enough, service to God disappears or settles into a mere formality, which is the same thing. You either quit altogether or it just becomes a formality. Either way, they're not serving. When we fail to depend upon and draw from God, service to the Lord is a mockery. We make a mockery of it. If we're going to serve the Lord, there must be dependence upon God. We have to draw strength from Him every day. I talk to people all the time, pastoring, and the things you hear, why they don't serve the Lord anymore. I was hurt really bad. Really. That's no reason to stop serving God. And if you draw from God's strength, that won't stop you. That won't stop you. If you're drawing from His strength, if you're serving for Him and not yourself, that won't stop you. It won't even upset you. Because you're here to serve God. This is our life calling. Serve Him. That's our life calling. Serve ye the Lord. That's to be our life. That is what is to define our life. And such ought to be our aim. It ought to be our purpose. It ought to be our desire. We ought to anticipate serving God every day. What a way to live, to serve God, regardless of circumstances, regardless of people. People are fickle. There's not a whole lot of good you can say about people. Not if you're honest. But don't let people keep you from serving God. You ought to have more love for the Lord than to let any person keep you from serving God and doing God's will. Our thoughts, our attitudes, our outlook, our decisions, our choices, our actions are all to revolve around our life calling to serve God. That's what we're here for, to serve the Lord. It's not how long you've been a member of one of the Lord's churches. That really doesn't mean a whole lot if you haven't served the Lord. We need to examine all the time our service to the Lord. And again, it's not something we pick and choose. That's why there's so many so-called ministries today. Well, I want to go into this ministry, or I want to go into that ministry. It's all about what I want to do. Rather than, Lord, here am I. You tell me what to do. I'm here to serve You. All I need is for You to tell me what to do. Are we willing to do that? Lord, here I am. Just tell me what You want me to do. Just tell me. Just show me what You want me to do, when You want me to do it, where You want me to do it. Just show me. It's not in our hands. It's in His hands. And when we take it into our hands, service very quickly can cease to be service. So God help us to present ourselves before the Lord each and every day just to serve Him. He's worthy. He's worthy of all. You cannot do too much for the Lord. You cannot do too much in His name. You cannot surrender too much. You cannot give up too much. No one's in danger. If you could, no one's in danger. But you can't. Just give them all. Because He's worthy of all. And when we step on the other side, we'll know it. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. But oh, that we would have some realization of it here. God help us. Brother Tim, you'd come and lead us.